We now welcome onto the call the head coach of the New Hampshire Wildcats, Sean McDonald. Good morning, Coach Mack.
Hey, Rob, what's going on, kid?
Not much. Congratulations, win number 100, rare air when you're in the same conversation with Andy Talley and Jimmy Laycock.
Two wonderful old men.
But 26-14 win for your team over Towson. Really good, hard-fought CAA game. Just give me your impressions on your team's performance.
I told Rob after the game, it was a typical UNH Towson game. You know, we spread them out and got around them a little bit, and they attacked us downhill. Both of us flew around out there. It was great atmosphere for a football game. I think turnovers, again, are the key to the most of the battles in this league. And we didn't turn the ball over on offense. We made a special teams blunder, but we created some turnovers. And I think that gave us an opportunity to score some points, gave us an opportunity to win the game. Again, hard-fought game. Another tough physical battle here in the CAA.
Let's start on the defensive side. Obviously, the four interceptions catch everybody's attention, including two by Evan, who had a great game. But I also thought the pressure your guys up front were able to get on their quarterbacks, how big of an influence did that make on some plays on the back end?
Yeah, it made a huge interest. You know, caused some of the interceptions because the quarterbacks weren't able to step into some throws and make them throws clean again. If you can't sack them, you got to disrupt it. If you can't disrupt it, you got to collapse the pocket. And our guys are doing a great job up front. Also, I think it's, you know, our secondary, you know, Evan and Pop and Randall Harris, these guys just got a good feeling, great eyes on what's going on. I think, again, as in all things, it's a combination of two or three different things happening on the defensive side of the ball to create turnovers.
Evan has played so much football for you, and we've talked about him a lot, but how big, as we get into conference play with this 2-0 start, is it having somebody with his experience there?
Well, it's a very calming influence in the back there. You know, he can come over to the sideline and he can talk. You know, again, Pop's played a lot of football for us right now. The kid who hasn't is Noah Stansberry, and those three guys are in the room together and, you know, talking to each other in meetings and then on the field and the sideline. You know, go over there and you hear, you know, the conversations about formation, about the conversation about splits. It's a pretty good deal for coaches to have experience like Evan Horn and Bob Bush helping out each other and especially helping Noah Stansberry.
A question this morning from Chris Heidel. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Coach Mack, how you doing?
Doing well, Chris. What's going on, kid?
Nothing much. Talk about Lafayette this week. You're playing Lafayette on the road. What type of team are you early, your early observation of them?
Well, I'll tell you, they're a big, strong physical defense. They got three linebackers that are all 220 plus, and, you know, and Schaefer, Morgan, and Alvarez, and they fly to the football. They got two quarterbacks they play. Both of them do different things, and they got some big running backs, you know. Played the Air Force extremely tough. Go into the game late against William & Mary on an away trip and a home opener for William & Mary and are only down 3-0. You know, again, traveling into Lafayette, traveling to one of the better Patriot League teams, opportunity on the road to find out who we are and what we are. It's going to be a huge challenge down here, Chris.
Yeah, and I got to say, I love that Mr. Miyagi comment the other night.
No problem, Chris. Part of the deal.
Have a good week.
So let's talk a little bit about the offense and Brett Edwards. I know you were impressed with him in week one, but his efficiency numbers just off the chart on Saturday, 24-32, 261, two touchdowns. How big of a step did you think he made even from week one to week two?
You know, I've been on this call for a long time, Rob. and you listen to everybody, you know, the key to some things is how much you improve from week one to week two. And again, he improved. And I think the biggest thing about Brett right now, he's playing within himself and doing some things that we had hoped he would always do, you know, just scrambling, throwing the ball away. You know, he pulled one on a run, you know, on a sprint. And, you know, it was first and 10 on the 14-yard line, brings it down to second and one down there. Now you got some options down around inside the 5-yard line. You know, you don't have to be a physical. I got to run the ball. We can play pass. We can sprint. We do some different things. So he's playing within himself. I think Ricky's doing an unbelievable job of coaching him. And I think Mike Rizzolo on our offense is doing a great job putting him in a position to be successful. So really happy for the kid. You know, he's playing well.
How much does it help? I mean, Ricky was obviously a guy who was able to get a lot of yards with his feet. I don't want you to make a comparison because Ricky's all over the CAA record book to compare that to a redshirt freshman. But how much does it help to have a guy like him to be able to mentor Brett?
Well, I think Ricky's done an unbelievable job with him, and I think it's experience from coaching at Columbia and then coming back here. Let's not get crazy and say that Santos was a guy with great feet, great running around. You know, I mean, you know, he made plays because he was very smart. And he made it with a good supporting surrounding cast. And I think that's what Brett and our quarterbacks are starting to realize. You got to distribute the ball to your guys in open spaces. And when your chance comes, take an opportunity and create something yourself. And I think a lot of people touch the ball on Saturday night for us that makes defenses, you know, have to be aware. Now the quarterback can run a little bit.
Last week, we spent some time talking about the big game in week one for Brian Espinette. He doesn't have his big numbers, but then Sean Coyne explodes for you, 9 catches, over 100 yards. Yep. Talk about Sean's performance and then just the versatility and the options you have out on the outside.
Well, Sean had a hell of a game last year, if you remember, against Albany in the first game at 5 catches and 2 touchdowns. And again, he's practiced extremely well. We just didn't get the touches to him in the Stony Brook game the way we like to get touches to him. And then we found an opportunity to get him the ball on Saturday. You know, two or three short catches turned in from a 4 or 5 yard throw to a 15, 17 yard gain. You know, and then we hit the seam ball and a hash fade against them. And, you know, he had a long touchdown there. Brett threw a really good throw. You know, Sean got good body position, ran the route the right way, and, you know, we scored a touchdown again. It opens up some stuff. You know, we had Griffin Helm touch the ball, CJ Turner touch the ball, you know, Samir Blacknall. Those things help because it spreads it out. Now the defense has got to figure out who else you're going to there.
Also a big game on the ground from Dylan Lovey. He and Carlos provide such a contrasting style, 1 and 2. Maybe talk a little bit about what Dylan brought to your team on Saturday.
You know, Dylan did it in a lot of different ways on Saturday night, you know, and it started with kick returns, you know, it was all purpose stuff, and he had great vision, great speed, had a great cut on his touchdown run, made a bounce and got to the sideline and tiptoed in there. You know, you're exactly right. I think it's a really good mix for us as a football program to have two guys that can tote the football and do different things. So Carl's a little more powerful, a little more inside, and Dylan's an outside guy who can fly around, do some good things.
You touched a little bit, Chris, about Lafayette. You got to see them against William & Mary. When you get the opportunity to see a future opponent against the CA team, is that helpful at all in preparation?
Yeah, you know, again, they played Air Force, you know, and again, the Air Force is a different breed because of what they do offensively and how they approach things. You know, now you get them back to our league and to our, what I consider our level of football, and you watch, you know, how they attacked William & Mary, how they stood toe-to-toe with them physically in the trenches, how their speed matched up against them. It's really good for your kids when you're in the meetings on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, showing the tape, showing the cut-up, saying, guys, this is our level of football, and they're staying with us stride for stride. They're dominating at this point. Look at the linebackers coming downhill. It's really good because our kids know the kids in the league. Our kids know our all-conference players in the league. So it helps an awful lot for our guys to be dialed in on what's going on in those games.
Before I let you go, I know I've known you long enough to know it's just another game, but how much did winning number 100 mean to you? And did you hear back from a lot of former players and stuff that were involved in those 100 wins?
Yeah, you know, it means a lot, you know, and I'm laughing. Very good friends still with Jimmy Laycock and very good friends with Andy Tally, you know. Longevity is the key in all this stuff, Rob, and having the support of the administration, all that stuff, but more importantly, the guys that played for you, and they reminded me of a couple times that I wasn't so nice to them, Rob, you know, and it was good to hear from a bunch of them. But again, takes an awful lot of people to do what all of us do as coaches, and it's a good feeling when those guys get back to you.
All right, Coach Mac, thanks so much for the time. Good luck on Saturday against Lafayette, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.